So I just watched a report on Glenn Dyson with Brian Berletic, who's a very smart analyst, and he's been writing for many, many years, and he's a good guy, you know. But he's making the case that the recent resignation by that guy named Joe Kent is a setup, and that it's not that. This is the tail wagging the dog, that it's the dog wagging the tail, is that it's most certainly that the United States is using Israel, and that I'm going to hang him out to dry. And he points to a Brookings Institute paper in 2009. I know that paper, I'm familiar with that paper because I read everything from these Jewish finance think tanks. One thing you have to understand is that this is the dawn of this was a 2009 paper. So this is the dawn of the ascendancy of the inevitable ascendancy of the liberal conquest of the United States government, right? We had by something like maybe sixth year of the Obama administration had basically declared the end of the Republican Party because they were so reviled and just nobody liked them. It was just a fluke that the Democratic, well, it's not a fluke, the Democratic Party was just so systemically corrupt that it was a fluke that Trump came along and that populism ended up winning the day. But that was a fluke. That was not planned, right? But he, you have to understand about stuff that's coming out of Brookings, okay? First of all, Brookings is Jew, 100% neocon. That's Kagan. This is Robert Kagan is King Jew over there. And it's financed all by Jews and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is controlled by Jews because they got Bill in the Epstein blackmail network, okay, the child sex blackmail network, okay. That's why Bill Gates does everything that Bill Gates does is because they got the video on the thumb drive. And they say, Bill, yeah, take a look at this thumb drive we got of you at Epstein's house. You know, you're going to do what we're going to tell you to do, okay. But in this paper, and I don't have it in front of me, but I basically kind of, if they're talking about hanging out Israel to dry, okay, and using them as like bait in that region to advance America's geostrategic goals. I've done so many shows on this that this is just a decoy. They knew that this was the ascendancy of a liberal of the Obama administration. And this was 2009. This was Obama. The paper came out in 2009. Obama was elected president in 2008. He was inaugurated in 2009. Okay, so Brookings quickly wrote up a paper saying, okay, well, let's use Israel as the instigating element for war on Iran. Okay. And then they're going to take the heat. This is the crux. This is the thrust of what this Brian Berletic is saying, the paper. And I recall the paper, but the absolute details of the paper, I don't really know all the details, but I believe that that's possible that that's what they would have said. Okay. But you have to understand that. The whole point of neoconservatism is it's an infiltration of American foreign policy to disguise, put a decoy out, saying, oh yes, this is good for the American empire, when in fact all of the objectives that get met are always for Team Jew and Israel. And if you just look at all the objectives that have gotten fulfilled, it's been for Team Jew in Israel. What do I mean by this? Team Jew, BlackRock, the ascendancy of BlackRock occurred at the very same time. So all of these And then all of the military objectives are all there for Israel, not for the United States. The United States gets nothing out of this region. There's no strategic interest in having a war with Iran right now. The strategic interest would be to team up with Iran and to be friendly with Iran, not to be enemies of them. But the reason why the Jews are so threatened by Iran is because Iran is actually is the oldest civilization on Earth, right? And it actually is something other than what Israel is, which is just a bunch of crooks. They're just a bunch of con men. Whereas the Persian Empire has much, much more than what the Israelis have. Again, Israel, the Jews have not contributed to any philosophers. Where's the famous Jewish philosopher? Hendo Spinoza is not. That was just that's more Jewish fiction that people have come to accept. That, oh yes, you know, because Jews had a crisis. They said, we don't have any major philosophers, right? Let's pick this Spinoza guy and say that everybody revered him. No, they didn't. They made false stories that people like John Locke and the great philosophers weighed in on Spinoza. They most certainly did not. That's latter-day fiction that they went. And then they planted those stories. Neoconservatism. The Brookings Institute is financed by Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Chaim Sabin Jew, and it's just a long string of militaristic Jew financiers. Don't listen to what they say. Pay no attention to what they say or what they write. Just pay attention to who's putting the fucking money there. Who's paying for it? So I don't have the paper in front of me. I guarantee whoever was writing that paper, whatever division it was in, it's full Jew. So you think that Jews are going to say, write a paper saying, hang Jew out to dry? No, but Jews will write a paper that says, hang Jews out to dry, and they know that will appeal to the ascending liberal and just about everybody else, yeah, in Washington that really doesn't like Jews, but they're just doing it because they're getting paid. I mean, nobody really cares for these people. They're just like, if the money stopped flowing, the policies that benefit Jews would end in a second. There's no loyalty to Team Jew. Team Jew is Team Jew so long as the faucet of money is on. If the faucet of money turns off for a second, you'll find out how loyal people are to Team Jew. There's no loyalty to Team Jew. Okay, and certainly they understood that the Democratic Party, as represented by Barack Obama, who was elected in 2009, months before the Brookings Institution with their Jewish money, concocted a story about how, yes, well, let Israel go and start the war. They know damn well that the full weight, that they could easily get the full weight of the U.S. government to necessarily throw its weight in a war that was jump-started by Israel. But by framing it as, oh, no, this is just another phase of the geostrategic goals. First of all, one thing I have to remind Brian Berletic and his host, which I was surprised that Glenn Dyson, who's usually a good interviewer, I'm surprised he didn't say, well, did Netanyahu and the Israelis read that report where they're going to get hung out to dry? Like, what would their view of that be? He didn't ask that question, right? So I'm asking that question. Do you think that the Brookings Institute would have written a paper saying, let's hang Israel out to dry and get them to start the war, and then they'll take the full brunt of the attacks, and then we'll just sit back as Americans and we'll benefit from it? What do you think, the Israelis are going to go for that? Unless it was a nod, wink, wink, saying, look, don't worry, we're putting this paper out. us Jews, okay, because it's all Jews. And remember, Booking Institute is Team Jew. So Team Jew is not going to put out a paper that says, let's hang Team Jew out to dry. It's not going to happen. Okay. But they will put a decoy paper for the Brian Berletics to read and say, oh, this is the continuity of a long-term a geostrategic thrust of the United States. There's no such thing. There is no such thing as a geostrategic policy in the United States that lasts more than 4 years. Then they're all out. Policy implies that it has to be promulgated or has to have custodianship of people. The people are all gone. Victoria Nuland's gone. She's been removed from government in the Trump administration. All of the people at the State Department are either marginalized, that don't agree with Trump, or are gone. Okay, so then it would be you're talking about then that Trump is the custodian of the long-term geostrategic plans of the United States? Of course not. Trump is Team Trump, which is Jared Kushner and the Alexander brothers, the rapists, and that creepy other guy, what's the name, the real estate. It's a real estate, a bunch of real estate hoods, right? That's it. And Bitcoin sleaze bags. They're not the continuation of any geostrategic plan, long-term plan. Trump has removed a lot of people, put other people in. There would be nobody within the military apparatus. And as we saw, people that were a long time, well, they were retired, but they brought back Raising Cain to be the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So where's the continuity? He was retired. Then they bring him back. It's not how continuity works. But there is one government that has continuity and one entity that has continuity. Well, drum roll, please. Team Jew. Israel. Those plans are long-term plans. Netanyahu's been the prime minister for, I don't even know, 20 years, more than that. It's a long-term plan. Our plans don't last more than 4 years. So I don't know what you're talking about when you're talking about that this is the plan for the geostrategic. There's no geostrategic plans, no objectives that outlive the next administration. Yes, they'll write papers. The Jews will write papers, but those are decoy papers. Those are just there to trick the United States military and the State Department and all the operatives, right? To say, yes, we're going to do this. This is the long-term geostrategic thrust of the United States. And every war is for Israel, and Israel is the only benefit, and Larry Fink and BlackRock and Blackstone and all the Jewish private equity and Jewish asset managers benefit. No one else benefits. So how is that a long-term American geostrategic objective? It's not. It's disguised in... It's cloaked in terminology and terms and language that says, yes, this paper here represents the path to Persia. I think that's the paper was called, or something like the Road to Persia or something like that. Okay. You know, that's a decoy. It's the road to Jew money. It's the road to Team Jew. It's the road to Greater Israel. Disguised as the road forward for American geostrategic policy. We at the Brookings Institute, we are the ones who are telling, how the fuck would Brookings Institute, which is financed by nothing but, look, just take the paper, I think it's called the Road to Persia or the Path to Persia, just take that paper, look at who wrote it, look at who's paying for them. Okay, just go get the paper. I don't have it in front of me. I'm traveling. Go get the paper. Look who paid for it. Look who's behind it. Look what working groups they're in. Whoever wrote it, it's probably probably a group of people wrote it. It's a policy paper that's pushing a thrust towards Iran. Right? Where's the money? And you'll find out what the objective is. The objective is of that is to construct greater Israel, not greater American empire, not the geostrategic goals of the United States, which don't exist. There's no such thing as continuity of U.S. policy. It doesn't exist because the personnels who would be responsible for that are gone. You need to have people to push policy. You can't, policy doesn't survive when the people who promulgated it are gone. A new policy comes in. Right? And now the new policy is same as the old policy. Okay, a series of decoy policies for either that benefit in various forms, either Israel or the Jewish private equity firms, or the Jewish owners of the military-industrial complex, or the Jewish pedophilic empire, which would be the left-wing, left arm of the Rothschilds. Yeah, remember? You got the left-wing Jewish money, which is TV, Hollywood, the pharmaceutical industry, the pedophiles, Democratic Party. That's at the left-wing of Jew money, right? Transgender mania, okay? Then you got the right wing of Jew money, Netanyahu, Likud, the defense industry, and similarly, the pedophilic network in the form of Jeff Epstein. So you got the pedophiles on both right and left. Isn't that interesting? Right? And you got war on both sides too. Okay, but there's just all these things do fall under left and right wing Jew, right? You can't say the mainstream media outside of Fox is right-wing Jew. It's left-wing, but it's left-wing Jew, which means that Drag Time Story Queen Hour, which is the get the kids wearing genital constraining underwear, transgender 8-year-olds. That's the left-wing Jew. That's the Frankfurt School. That's the cultural Marxism. That's to eat away, to destroy the Amalek from the inside. That's the left-wing Jew. And then the right-wing Jew money is to destroy Amalek with weapons, bullets and bombs and surveillance systems. That's the right wing of the Jew. But it's the left and right hands of the old Jewish banking dynasty. Ultimately, the Rothschild and the octopus that extends from the old Rothschilds banking empire. And as you know, Harry's always saying, pay no attention when Wikipedia tells you Rothschild doesn't have the money anymore, they have the money. And all that network, the Barclays, the whole the extension of the Rothschild money. So when anyone tells you that, no, this is these plans are there, this is the U.S. geostrategic plan. Ask them, okay, under whose tutelage, under whose custodianship is this plan? Donald Trump? Pete Hegseth? He just came in a year ago. The old people are out. Policies don't last past the next 4-year administration. They don't. All that lasts, huh? Is the Brookings Institute. But even that doesn't last because the Reagan administration, it was the Heritage Foundation. Then it became the American Enterprise Institute, was the big Jew think tank. And then it became, now it's Brookings and CSIS. I mean, you know, and so the Jews just take their money and they move it in various places. And then before it was the Bohemian Club, and then now it's Davos. You know, they have ways to change it up a bit, okay? But it's the way you have to look at this is that whenever they tell you about a long-term geostrategic plan for American empire.
No. No way.
That's a decoy. All the papers that talk about building, make America strong, and this is what America, that's how the neocon decoy works. All the wars are in Israel. Did you notice that? If the plan was to make America strong, we would go right to China right now. We wouldn't have to take down. It's the same thing as the Q-tards, you know. What do they say? Leave Israel for last or something like that was the thing. You know, it's the same kind of scam. Oh yes, first we have to do Israel, and then we can thrust towards Russia, then to China. No, it's first we take care of Israel's friends, and then Israel will then do deals with China and Russia, and to be the head, the center of the Belt and Road. And Israel, here's what's actually happening, which Brian doesn't know, but I'm telling you what it is. Jews, what does the Jew want? What gives Jew its power? Well, everybody knows. Money. That's the only reason anybody cares a shit about a Jew. Because they got the money. Okay, the Jews know the money's flowing east. Right? So the Jews made a deal with China, and the deal was, we Jews are going to do you a favor, China. We're going to deplete all the U.S. weaponry under this guise that Brian Verletic thinks is, the U.S. empire, effectuating the Mackinder, geostrategic pivot of history. First of all, I should remind you, I was one of the first people to dredge that up. So I started talking about Mackinder's geostrategic pivot of history when Brzezinski told me about it, personally. So I started talking about it a long time ago, 1989, A lot of analysts and stuff were not talking about the Mackinder plan. I started making a big deal about it and talking about it. And I've been an analyst of all this stuff for all this time. Times are shifting. There's one thing that Verletic did get correct. That they're trying to choke China off, but remember that there is some conflicting plans. Yes, the Jews made a deal with China. We will deplete U.S. ability to maintain global hegemony. We will deplete their missile supply, and you just remember this and make us the fee taker for goods going through the Belt and Road from China to Europe. We'll be the fee taker. I thought it was going to be the port of Haifa, actually, is where the fees would be taken. Right? There would be some kind of a broker or customs levy or some kind of value added tax. There'll be some fee. Because that's how the Jews have always done it. The fee takers. That's how Jews have enslaved us, by taking the fee. They nickel and dime you to death. That's why industry's failing in the United States, because of the fees. The insurance fees, the licensing fees, the fee for this, the fee for that, the fee. And it's all processed by Jews. The climate change, the whole climate hysteria, the whole carbon market is a fee structure for the Jews to slap fees on the trees. That's a good one. To put the fee on the tree and on oceans and the rivers and the lakes and the water and the air you breathe. If the Jew could put a rental sign on the air that you breathe, they would. And I think they will, because no one can stop them. They'll say, How much they'll weigh you. They'll put a breathing monitor on you, and they'll see how much air you breathe in. So, well, you know, us Jews, we're gonna take a fee for that because we're Jews. That's what we Jews have always done, is fee. So the Jew is telling China, let us be the fee taker for the Belt and Road. Let us be the fee taker for the carbon tax credit and the carbon market and the carbon trading. Oh, I do a lot of polluting. You don't do any polluting. Let me pay you for your lack of polluting so I can pollute on your behalf. Okay, who's going to do that transaction? Jews, because they're the only ones who have the infrastructure of those kind of payment systems and that kind of stuff. And who's going to take the fees for all these carbon trading that's happening? If you, again, I don't need to know this. I at this point, I've seen this so much that it's just instinct at this point. So do it yourself. Like, just find out who's the biggest fee taker for the carbon tax trading schemes. Like is it Christian? Like, is it, are the people actually build up their bank accounts by that? Are they Christians, Hindus, Muslim, Buddhists, or let me guess, Jews? No, it's the Jew. It's not that there's no long-term U.S. geostrategic plan. There's no plan at all. It's whatever Jew tells them the plan is. Disguised, there's a lot of decoy plans. But the real plan is greater Israel. You know, I like what this guy Zhang is saying. Pax Judaica. Yep, that's the plan. Pax Judaica. That's a good one. But Berletic is incorrect. He is wrong. 100% wrong. And because you have to answer the question, then who in the State Department is putting out this idea of the long-term geostrategic goal, like, or what is it? The State Department is the nexus of this plan centered in the executive branch? No, because that changes, and each executive branch hates one another. It would have to be in the CIA? No, the CIA is just Team Jew in disguise as fighting for, you know, to keep the mortal enemies of the American Empire suppressed. No, that's just the banking. That's just to promote the banking interests and the financial interests of Jewish billionaires and corporate class. And then he says that it's the corporate class. Well, what corporation? SpaceX or what? Bill and Melinda Gates? And, well, yeah, but not really. What corporation would it be? Well, Northrop Grumman, yes. Northrop Grumman, they finance Brookings Institute, for sure. That's one of the big defense industry, but who owns Northrop Grumman? Who's the biggest shareholder? Team Jew. Larry Fink. BlackRock. Again, all roads not lead to a strengthening of American empire. All roads lead to strengthening of the Jew money. And it's disguised. So don't get fooled by a paper from Brookings Institute written in 2009 telling you about how the continuity of the U.S. strategic thrust is going to be. Are you kidding me? You're gonna take for face value what the Brookings Institute wrote? You've got to be kidding me. It's a complete decoy paper designed to resonate with people like Barack Obama, who they know do not like Jews. And so they say, okay, let's put a paper where we say that, here's literally what's going on in the back of, in the meeting, private Jewish meeting room where you're not allowed in. Here's what's going on. They say, okay, well, what are we going to do? We got this black Barack coming in. He doesn't really care too much about us Jews, Team Jew. Right, let's put out a paper and let's say that the continuity of the American Empire is first we go for Iran, then we push for Russia, and then we push for China. That'll resonate. And then we'll say that, you know, Israel will go and start the war, and they'll take the brunt of the hit, you know, and then we can sit back clean, you know, and it could look like it's Israeli doing it. They know damn well they could drag America, and they know damn well that the entire infrastructure of the policy is geared towards Team Jew. They know damn well that they could put so much pressure once Israel started a war that they that the Marco Rubios and the Lindsey Grahams of the world would, of course, say, no, we're absolutely going to get in. The Ted Cruzes of the world, they were all in Congress back in 2009. The Senate, they know damn well. It's a decoy. Don't make no mistake about it. It's a decoy. Don't pay no attention to what a Jewish think tank writes. Pay no attention to what the Kagan, Robert Kagans of the world say. It's all decoys. If they're Jews, there's an underlying meaning. Hello, duh. They're not going to tell you. They're not going to. The Jew is not going to write a paper say, let's hang the Jews out. Let them take the hit and the blame. Come on. You gotta be kidding me. Good luck.